federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
Today, my special guest is Terry Halverson, the Department of Navy's Chief Information Officer. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Halverson has been the Department of Navy's CIO since November 2010. He has been focusing on two main areas to improve the Navy's technology, infrastructure, and efficiencies.
There's a couple reasons that we are going hard after. When I say business IT efficiencies, certainly in the business of the Don, there are pieces of the business IT that will hit our operational support. There are seams between what is pure business in maybe a commercial area and what is pure business inside the Department of the Navy. But there are certain functions that are predominantly business, and we want to look at those for efficiencies for a couple of reasons. One, we believe, as we have been looking at where industry is going and things they're doing, that there are efficiencies to be had there and better ways we could execute that. And the second one has to do with a little bit about risk. It's not a secret. We're in a tough fiscal environment. If I want to take some risk, and in today's financial environment, I am going to have to take more risk, this is a better area to take it than some other areas. And that is a decision that's been made by the senior department leadership in consultation with the service leaderships to say this is an area we want to look at to take some more risk. What's the right level of risk? That's what we'll work through over the fit up as we look at how much we actually take out of business IT. But I think the areas that we are focusing on, and it can be different for each of the services, but in general, we're looking at like data center consolidation. That is something that industry has found good savings in. When you first built data centers, networks and applications weren't really built to run on network. So you had to build data centers to, you know, almost everywhere you had a large concentration of data. Not true anymore. So there are the technology and the way we operate have made data center consolidation a good place to look at it.
This program to activate the emergency alert system for the Washington, D.C. metropolitan operational area because of a local weather emergency. The National Weather Service in Sterling, Virginia has issued a flash flood warning for central Frederick County in north central Maryland and western Montgomery County in central Maryland. The flash flood warning in effect until 1:30 this afternoon. As of 10:27, National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a developing very heavy band of showers stretching from near Frederick southward to around Dawsonville. Radar estimates over an inch of rain has fallen near Dawsonville in the last 30 minutes. This extremely heavy rain is moving over the same areas, will produce flash flooding. Some locations that will continue to be affected by the heavy rain include Ballinger Creek, Boyds, Frederick, Newmarket, Poolsville, and Walkersville. Keep in mind, most flood deaths occur in automobiles, so never drive your vehicle into areas where water covers the roadway. Floodwaters are usually deeper than they appear. Just 1 foot of flowing water is powerful enough to sweep vehicles off the road. When encountering flooded roads, make the smart choice. Turn around. Don't drown. Again, a flash flood warning in effect until 1:30 this afternoon for central Frederick County and western Montgomery County.
Buying that better. Maybe leveraging the department's full value to Microsoft is a way we think we will be able to reduce the cost. And there's a series. Microsoft just happens to be one we're looking at first. There are a series of ones that we're going to go after where we think buying, buying in bulk will save us quite a bit of money. We're looking at how do you maybe get rid of some of your legacy network structure. Again, we probably won't get to, you know, one network in the department, but we can get
to fewer than we have today. That saves money, improves performance in a lot of ways that industry has found, and I think we're finding the same thing. So lots that we can do here based on what industry has done, some things that we think we can do because of where we're structured. And the two reasons to do it are, one, some of it is the right time now, given where we are with technology, and makes sense. And the other piece is, given the fiscal environment, it is an area to take risk that doesn't directly impact our combat capability.
We have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Terry Halverson, the Department of Navy's Chief Information Officer.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Terry Halverson, the Department of Navy's Chief Information Officer. In this part of the show, Halverson discusses the Navy's need to become more efficient. The Navy is looking at all business systems and their associated costs in an attempt to save 25% of its IT budget over the next 5 years.
I guess to start off with, it seemed like a lot of your answers, and as you answered everyone else's questions, you said we're going to do the analysis. We're in the middle of the analysis. We're doing the analysis. A lot is going on. What is the timing for a lot of those? And each one's a little different. I realize that. But what's the timing for that analysis to get done and then decisions starting to make? I mean, are you making decisions today, for instance, that's going to really affect your 13 and your 14 Absolutely. Operations?
Absolutely. When you say analysis, what I'm trying not to get you all to leave the room saying is that there's this timeline of analysis and then we're going to execute. No. There'll be continual analysis on the IT money. Obviously, I think you said that well. There are certain pieces of analysis that we have done today that we will start executing. There will be a list, an example on the Navy side. There will be a list that the Navy says the following data centers are going to close. And 12, going to close in 13, going to close in 14. We'll keep actively reviewing that list. And, you know, what I think might close in 15 today, I might add to by continuing to do analysis. The same thing applies across the board. I've already told you we are going after Microsoft licenses. I suspect shortly, and that's out there. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff on there. I suspect shortly you'll see a couple other big enterprise buys be announced. And you could look at where we spend money. This is about, in many cases, following where you spend money because simple math. You want to save big money, you have to go where you spend big money. So you'll see the next round of enterprise licenses come out. And I don't think it will surprise you where that's targeted. We already know there's some places we want to do something in zero client. So we'll start implementing that. Depending on how those results go, we'll do some reanalysis. And I believe that we'll expand even beyond what our initial plan is for thin and zero client. This will be a continual process. It's also coupled with the analysis that lets us much better understand what we're spending all of our IT dollars on. That takes good analysis to say, what are you really spending it on and what effects are they achieving? You know, you go in to anything, say, I'm going to spend X amount of money and I hope to get this effect. So now you've got to go check that I get that effect. And we'll be tracking that. We're setting up metrics and measures to figure out how do we not just ensure that we've saved the money, but more importantly, did the effect we want to achieve occur so that we truly are saving the money? We didn't get a bad effect. We took the money anyway, and now we got to go back and figure out another solution. So it's important that we know that we're getting the right effect for the money that we're now spending, less than we were spending across the board, and we're developing all those metrics too.
In the same vein, the recent memo you put out about creating a review board, in many ways an investment review board, I think you called it something else though specifically, that all fits into that bigger area of the analysis. Can you talk a little bit about that memo? Anything over $1 million is going to go through this review board.
We at the Don put out a memo that basically says the two services must establish procedures that had a single approval authority for any IT purchase exceeding $1 million. Now, the Marine Corps had that process in place before we put the memo. I'll be very candid and say we looked at some of the Marine Corps process and said, this makes sense across the department. We ought to implement this to the department. Both the Marine Corps and the Navy have decided to execute that process at less than $1 million. And that means that somebody is not only looking at the amount of money, but they're looking at the what. Not a secret that we have in the department systems that do similar things. So one of the reasons we put this in place is, so let's say somebody wants to buy a new scheduling system for anything, you know, whether it's aircraft scheduling, it's a scheduling system. We have in the department a significant number of scheduling systems. We probably don't need a new one. So what we'll also look at here is saying, well, you know what? We see what your requirement is. No, you don't need to buy a new one. Here, use what we already own to execute your requirement. So it's about transparency in what we're totally spending and making sure that someone's approving that. It's about looking across the board to say, do we really need something new to meet this requirement, or could we use something existing to meet the requirement? And it's to make sure that as we look at our priorities of IT dollars, maybe what you wanted to spend that money on, while it's a requirement for that individual command or group, in the big scheme of things, that's a less priority than something else we might want to spend the money on.
Who holds that authority right now? Have you decided? Is it the deputy CIO is going to be doing a lot of it? Is it going to be you? Or is it going to be...
No, the services will execute that. And on the Marine Corps side, that's Brigadier General Kevin Nally, who is the Deputy Don CIO, Marine Corps, and the Marine Corps CIO. And on the Navy side, it's going to be Vice Admiral. We want to get this right. Kendall Card, who is the Deputy Don CIO Navy and the Deputy for Navy Information Dominance.
Halverson says the goal is not organizational change, but process change.
In addition to the memo we put out on funding authority, we've also put a memo out that, again, basically says that within the department, you can't buy any new data storage unless it has been approved by either Kendall or Kevin. And we've demonstrated that the existing capacity we have won't handle your requirement. That's a process change. It's forcing people to look more globally. And that means that If the Navy has a data storage requirement and the Marine Corps has a data center that has capacity, we put it in the Marine Corps data center and vice versa.
He says that means hard drives and servers.
It was pretty specific to say, no, stop. And that includes the programs. So if you're a program office, and let's say inside your program, you had budgeted dollars to say, I need to go buy servers to store the data my program is going to generate it. Maybe not. Maybe. You don't need to spend that money, and we just put your data inside existing department capacity. So it's very inclusive and very restrictive on the waiver process. In fact, only Kevin or Kendall can issue a waiver to that, and even they would have to issue it based on the fact that they demonstrated there was not an existing ability inside the department to handle the data requirement.
All of this focus on oversight of IT projects do come with risks, Halverson says.
Could it slow down acquisition a little bit? Sure. I think there is that risk, and we tried to look at that. But I would tell you our consensus is that that risk is far outweighed by the gain of getting control of the money. And while a lot of IT, and you know, when you hear about the big IT procurements, sure, they're over $1 million, but there's also a lot of IT, particularly in terms of little things that when you add it all up, you know, while they may be bought, like somebody goes out and says, I need 15 printers, you know, and that's they're buying them for $250,000. Well, if you do a lot of that, it becomes a big sum of money. So I know on the Navy's case, their thought, and I believe in the Marine Corps, who had this process in place earlier, the reason they went lower was to get control of what I'll call those size buys, that when everybody's out buying things under, you know, $250,000 or at $250,000, but you, when you aggregate what all those little buys added up to, it's a lot of money.
One of the things about putting this memo in place is, if when you talk to CIOs across the government, outside of DOD specifically, but across the government, they don't have control of the IT budget. In fact, they say, I'd love to have the control of the IT budget, but unfortunately, I can't get it. It's so spread out from the programs. How much of a culture change, a change management issue, is this for you?
Well, we work closely with acquisition. In this, for the department's case, obviously with ASN RDA, Mr. Stackley and his team. And there will be corresponding guidance out to the contracting and procurement officials that says unless you have a signed authority to buy by one of those two, you can't buy. And they're pretty good at following those rules because they have to be. Because now you're into, if you buy it and you didn't have the authority, there's all kinds of bad things that could happen. So I actually think the enforcement of that is going to go pretty well. Is it a cultural change? Yes. It is to say that we are now having more central oversight of the IT dollars than we've had at any time in the past. At any time you do that, it's a cultural change. I think that if whatever the timing was right to make that change, it is today. And I think most people, all the senior leadership, even outside of D.C., understands that we've got to do that. That we've got to have a better visibility into what we're spending today, because the priorities are going to get tighter as you have less money. That's just another math fact. You know, if you have less money to spend, you've got to make sure that you have spent it on your priorities, and you're going to neck down your priorities if you have less money to spend. And you have to have some central oversight of the dollars to be able to do that.
We have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Terry Halverson, the Department of Navy's Chief Information Officer.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Terry Halverson, the Department of Navy's Chief Information Officer. In this part of the show, Halverson discusses how the Navy wants to improve its infrastructure. Halverson says the service is moving toward a thin client setup.
We have already have instances today of thin and zero client out on the networks today. And what we're looking at and doing the analysis on is where does it make sense to expand that, and we will be doing that over the fit-up. And you have to tie that with, I think, some other analysis. You want to start looking at what are the users mostly using. So in our case, we've looked at that and found out a lot of our users spend 90% of their time on Office-type software. That could be Microsoft Office, could be other Office, but it's Office-type software. So you start looking at, does that make sense to host that in a server-based environment where you pull that down rather than loading an instance of that application or software on somebody's desktop and laptop? That, so you got to do that dual analysis to know where it makes sense. We're doing that now, and what we have seen is there are places that we believe that it will make more sense to go to a wider instances of thin and zero client than we have today. And that's particularly true as we look at what we're doing on the Nipper net, which is the unclassified network. Doesn't mean we don't do it on the CIFR, but that we think the ability to expand is much more on the Nipper net right now.
Halverson says the infrastructure changes he's considering already assume the use of cloud computing.
Thin client, to execute that well, requires a robust cloud computing. If you're going to do software as a service, that requires more robust, because you would go to the cloud, pull your latest version of software down, that's how you would provision it. So what I prefer to do, rather than lump everything saying, okay, the cloud, is let's get specific about what the cloud does for us. Helps us with thin client, helps us provision software. Maybe contrary to what some people tell you, I think the cloud offers us, particularly on the Nipper net, a way to do security better and could actually improve security using some of the cloud approaches. It's to be able to reach to the cloud or reach to what I call it makes geographic boundaries less important. So as an example, as we talked about data centers, the reason data centers kind of grew up around big sets of applications is early applications weren't made to run on networks. They didn't work well on even local, let alone wide area networks. The speed that the application ran made it almost a necessity that you had your data center very close to where you were trying to operate. The cloud changes some of that, with the cloud coupled with our technology and the way we're building applications. So it's not unrealistic to say you could have a data center housed almost anywhere that could support users almost anywhere, the limitation being that you are on the telecommunications superhighway. I mean, there are some limitations about you don't want to be too far off that global grid. But as the grid expands, that will get less too. And I think we could start looking at how we would locate data around the grid that does a couple things for us. One, it certainly improves the performance, lets you reduce the number of data centers you need, but also gives you the opportunity to protect your data better and give you more pathways to redundant communications without having to do that with a physical substantiation of the data. You can get to the data if you're on the cloud in from different pathways, so you can go to less data centers and actually end up with more ways to get to the data if you've located them on the grid more carefully. The cloud lets you do some of that, or cloud technology lets you do that. So they're the ways I think we will really specifically look at how the cloud helps us. It also may let us do, again, doing analysis, we might show that today we have some applications that while we want the big user base to be able to have access to them, it doesn't make sense to buy a license so that every user could use it all the time. Because what the data shows is that we have some applications, and I'll give you a specific example of a type of application. There are a lot of applications today to use to make presentations. Okay, well, there are a limited number of people in the department that actually make really heavy presentations that have sound and graphics and all that. So maybe a better way using the cloud to do that is to say we buy X number of concurrent instances of usage of that application hosted in the cloud. And, you know, this is a made-up number. But you could say, okay, so at any one time, 10,000 people in a department can get to that application. If you're 10,001, you've got to wait till somebody gets off to use that. Do the right analysis. That could be very powerful in reducing what we have to buy as license provisioning for that particular application. That's another way the cloud has the potential to help.
Halvorsen says cost savings and security are at the top of the list when it comes to making a decision about moving to the cloud.
I would tell you the department's answer is we want to use whoever can provide us the level of operational needs at the best price. And what I don't want to be in a position of is committing to, say, always that's DISA or always that's commercial. I really think the answer is going to be a hybrid of commercial and government, DISA being one example, provided services, be that data center or even cloud services. There's going to be some even NIPRNet data that because of its sensitivity, maybe it's privacy data, whatever, we're going to want more control and security of. So maybe that's where I say that factor outweighs pure cost, and I want to host that in a DISA or other government agency-provided cloud service. On the other hand, there's other data that's less sensitive. It's already public exposed data, so that makes sense to open it up to a commercial cloud. Now, within commercial, there are basically two types of clouds. I can have a commercial private cloud where I go to a commercial provider and they separate my data, and while I'm leveraging some of their infrastructure, I am still in a private environment. No one else, you know, my data is completely firewalled off from any other data. On the other hand, it may, in some instances, we have data that's public. Matter of fact, we have some data we want to make public. Recruiting comes to mind, where we're talking to people not in the middle. Maybe that business answer is to not even have to worry about it and host it in a public commercial data center or data cloud. So I think what we want to make sure is that we retain all of the options, that we look at the total business case, which would mean you'd look at your operational requirements, security requirements, and cost, and come to the best decision using all of those. Sometimes it'll be pure cost, sometimes it'll be a combination of cost security, and sometimes it'll be a cost security and operations that you have to balance. But you should have the option to look at all that. I really do think that's where we're going to move to, even in a DoD environment. It says we'll have a mix of answers depending on what the requirements are.
You've been listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today was Terry Halvorsen, the Department of Navy's Chief Information Officer.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for September is the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Nearly 1 million Americans are living with a form of blood cancer, and more than 53,000 will lose their battle to leukemia, lymphoma, myeloma, or Hodgkin's disease this year. Join us in the fight during Blood Cancer Awareness Month. Enroll a school in the Pennies for Patients program or join a light in the night walk. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com. This message brought to you by Papa John's and Federal News Radio.
Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller.
Houston Taylor is GSA's Assistant Commissioner for Acquisition Management in the Federal Acquisition Service.
The new FAR rule requires all suppliers to inventory and reduce their greenhouse gases, now commonly referred as GHG. Incorrect. Finally, because of sustainable mandates in the FAR rule, GSA is kicking non-green, non-compliant products off our schedules. Not correct.
Hear the entire interview online. Federal.